The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
As you already know, the assassin's bullet came within a quarter of an inch of taking my life. So many people have asked me, what happened? Tell us what happened, please. And therefore, I will tell you exactly what happened. And you'll never hear it from me a second time because it's actually too painful to tell.
I'm not supposed to be here tonight.
Not supposed to be here. Thank you. But I'm not. And I'll tell you, I stand before you in this arena only by the grace of Almighty God.
What's happened over the past month? Since the debate? And particularly on Saturday in Butler? I think a lot of people are wondering, what is this? This doesn't look like politics. Something bigger is going on here. I think even people who don't believe in God are beginning to think, well, maybe there's something to this. Yeah. Actually. And I'm starting to think it's going to be okay. I'm not always convinced that I'm on the right side. I've been on the wrong side many times. You'll never hear me say I'm on God's side or God's with me or even I'm with God. I want to be. Not sure I am. But I will say this unequivocally and conclusively. God is among us right now.
Wow. Statements from the final day of the Republican National Convention coming from Donald Trump and, of course, Tucker Carlson there, who says something bigger is going, something bigger than politics is happening right now. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, the final show of the week, if you can believe it. You can get to the live stream of this program every day, every weekday morning, I should say, at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. So it's a big weekend for the Key of David. It's going to be advertising America under attack for the first time. So just think of it. Next week, we're going to be sending out thousands more of that book. If we have some time, we'll hopefully play a few minutes from my father's opening on that show where he does talk about the book and its history, how it first was printed as a small booklet back in 2013. And after several versions and expansions over the years, it is what it is today. Over 200 pages, hardcover format. There you see the video. The Key of David program, you can get to that at the trumpet.com website. Just go to the video tab at the top and you can find my father's most recent Key of David program where we'll be advertising America under attack. As I say, if we have some time at the tail end of this show, hopefully we can play the first few minutes at least of my father's program. So just to go back to what Tucker said there, you look at what's happened over the last month. Yesterday we drew attention to just a passing statement Joe Scarborough made about the last 3 weeks and all that has happened. And on Morning Meltdown, they're still trying to decide if they're going to support Biden to stay in the race or if he should get out. You've got all these reports saying it's this weekend. And Obama, as I covered at the end of yesterday's show, Obama's spearheading it all. I mean, he's inching closer to making a public announcement himself. But be assured, he's working behind the scenes. Just think, coming back to Tucker's statement, look at what's happened over the last month. Let's try to step back and look at the bigger picture here. Something bigger than politics is transpiring. Well, if you follow this show and if you've read America Under Attack, you know exactly what that something bigger is. On July 11th, Donald Trump was supposed to be sentenced to prison or at least house arrest of some kind. That's just a little over a week ago. And of course, before that, you had the May 30th conviction, the Manhattan jury that convicted Trump in the so-called hush money case. So he's convicted. And you know how they tried to line up all the lawfare during critical moments of campaigning. Super Tuesday. They wanted Trump caught up in court so he couldn't campaign. You had half the Republican Party, basically, that was out there saying, Trump's not the one. It's got to be DeSantis. And then later, it's got to be Haley. These are the only ones that can win in a general election. That was like 2 seconds ago. What has happened? Last night, he takes to the stage, Donald Trump, and he's a national hero. He survived an assassination attempt. The Republican Party's more united than it's ever been. You look at these last 3 or 4 weeks, something bigger is happening. That's for sure. Tucker's right about that. I've played this statement from my father going back to June 1st. When he said that Donald Trump won't be assassinated. That's quite a statement. We've pared it down just a little bit further. Clip 17.
But from the very beginning, brethren, we did say he is coming back. And even now, if you were to look at it, you'd say, well, there's some people thinking, well, okay, he's probably going to win it if he doesn't get assassinated. Well, he isn't going to get assassinated. He isn't going to get assassinated, or how could he come back and fulfill a very great prophecy in Amos 7? From the beginning, we've always said that because it's in Bible prophecy.
That's the something bigger. That was June 1st. And then, of course, by the end of that month, June 27th, you have the debate, you have the Biden brain malfunction, you've got just disastrous news for the Biden campaign, political infighting in the Democrat Party. And just the day after that debate, a train wreck for Joe Biden, a train wreck for the fake president. Just the day after, the Supreme Court ruled on the Fisher case, which basically removes the obstruction charge, not just from Jack Smith's effort to take out Donald Trump, but for all of those January 6 protesters as well. And people, and President Trump even alluded to this. It's been discussed. At Peter Navarro just got out of prison the other day and went straight to the RNC. But this is a man that's being protected, as we saw last Saturday. This is a man who, I mean, the Supreme Court is working in his favor. The kingdom's court, just like it says in Amos 7. The Fisher case, that just undermines Jack Smith's attempt to get him for insurrection. And then the following week, this would be July the 1st, the Supreme Court came out and ruled on presidential immunity. And my father talked about where the Supreme Court is mentioned in prophecy in his sermon message the following Saturday. That would be July 6th, I believe. The day after the Supreme Court intervened on Trump's behalf, saying that, look, he's got to have immunity, or how can a president function? He's got to have some kind of immunity. Obviously, it doesn't mean that a president can get away with murder. But he does need some immunity for his official actions. The Supreme Court's decided on that July 1st. And then the next day, one of the crazy judges that got everybody so giddy about his sentencing, Donald Trump's sentencing on July 11th, that sentencing was pushed back to September 18th. The lawfare strategy was imploding right before our eyes. I mentioned the July 6th message my father gave, where he talked about the Supreme Court quite a bit. And then he wrote this on July 9th. This is before the assassination attempt. But he wrote, we are about to witness all kinds of wonders, wonderful miracles from God. We just have to complete the job God has given us to do. That was in his coworker letter July 9th. We're about to witness all kinds of wonderful miracles from God. And then 4 days later, I mean, what a miracle. And President Trump referenced it multiple occasions last night, on multiple occasions. You go back to that Ready for War. That's the January issue of the Trumpet magazine. I've shown that a couple of times this week. The latest one, by the way. And we'll get to Netanyahu a little bit later if we have time as well. But again, it's war. It's all out war, politically speaking. And who is God backing? What is the something bigger that's going on? Well, you have to get into Bible prophecy in that Ready for War piece. That's a year and a half ago. My father said, the battle lines are drawn. The stage is set for one of the most dramatic fulfillments of biblical prophecy that we have seen in our lifetimes. He's talking about the return of Donald Trump. That was written right after the midterms of 2022. We have the receipts. Scarborough and company getting up the next day saying, Trump's finished. Everything he does, everything he touches, he ruins. He's a drag on the Republican Party. He's hurting people down the ballot. How many times have we heard that he's finished? And then last night, well, last Saturday, you've got the assassination attempt, the miracle from God, the wondrous miracle, as he tilted his head at the right time, and he referred to the graphic, the slide on illegal immigration, all of it. Everything we've been discussing on the show this week. I mean, even the fact that the audience didn't stampede out of there as soon as shots rung out. Donald Trump has marveled at that the past week. In the few people he's had private conversations with, he's talked about the people. The bravery of the people, even, to stay there and to actually look and to try to locate the shooter and to try to help their fellow citizens, those that were injured. The little head tilt, and it saved his life. Listen to what my father said again. I've gone through this. We went through it on Monday, but this was how he finished his sermon just last Saturday, 2 hours before the assassination attempt. This is clip 18.
President telegraphs Grant, let the thing be pressed. And that was the last important order. And like most of the orders, a good one. And on April the 8th, a Saturday, Lincoln boarded the River Queen and started home. And here Williams ends it with one sentence, his whole book. Here's what he said. That day, John Wilkes Booth registered at the National Hotel in Washington.
And just a little over 2 hours later, we had another assassination attempt here in the United States. It is in our history. This does happen. And there are big movements behind it. It's rarely ever a lone gunman. Josh Hawley, he's getting whistleblowers coming forward now saying that really there weren't most of the Secret Service, most of those that were there last Saturday to protect Donald Trump, they weren't even in the Secret Service. They were from DHS, local law enforcement. And here this director just lies to America, talking about how everything is enhanced because, well, there's an Iranian threat. They can't even get their stories straight. And now the whistleblowers are coming forward. We'll get to that a little bit later. But let's just come back to that statement from Tucker. Something bigger is going on here. People are beginning to recognize that, as I said on yesterday's show. I mean, when these things come to pass, as it says in the end of Ezekiel 33, then people will know. They will know how active God's hand was. in these very unusual events. This man that you see there pumping his fist, he was supposed to be destroyed. And who can deny that this is just some kind of a political season? These things happen all the time. He was to be sentenced on July 11th, and then he was to be murdered on July 13th. And last night, he's greeted as a national hero. Van Jones says it was as electric as the one in 2008 when the Dear Leader came along, and everyone was worshiping him, getting that thrill up their leg. As Chris Matthews said, just go back, though, even more recent than that. Go back to a few months ago when they were just getting into the Republican primaries and every Republican and their dog lined up to tell you that there's just no way Donald Trump can win a general election. He's just got too many legal troubles. He's probably going to be convicted. We can't have that as a president. Listen to clip 16.
Anybody not named Trump, I think, is so much more likely to win the White House for us. Why would we want to risk giving the nomination to somebody that we know? We haven't lost, my party hasn't lost this much this fast than we have with Trump.
There's from more and more Republicans, especially big donors, who argue that DeSantis would ultimately be the harder candidate to beat.
I don't think Trump can win a general election.
I pray and hope we can beat Donald Trump in the primary. I still think it's very much possible. He is not guaranteed the nomination. And I make two arguments. Number one, I think the argument that works best is we lose with Trump. He won one election in 2016. We've been losing ever since. House, Senate, presidency. And do you think those swing suburban voters that give us presidencies in states like Wisconsin like Donald Trump more since January 6th or less? So it's really clear to me, we stick with Trump, we lose. Even with Biden being as weak as he is. It's really clear to me, if we nominate someone else, we win.
This is deadly. It's done. He's going to be convicted. It's over.
I think President Trump was the right president at the right time. I agree with a lot of his policies. But rightly or wrongly, chaos follows him. And y'all know I'm right. Chaos follows him. We can't go through another nail biter of an election. We can't.
Tonight, Iowa made this Republican primary a two-person race.
I mean, I think what Iowa showed is he got half the vote, which is good, really good in a normal caucus season. But I think he's a de facto incumbent president that is the most famous person in politics. And so that was telling that you had half the people, roughly, that opted for someone else. I've always been skeptical about Donald Trump's ability to win a general election, and I remain that.
Every single thing that Donald Trump has said or put on TV has been a lie. Check with the fact checkers. Every single thing.
So yes, it would be smart, as it always was when he was president, if he would listen to Kaylee about this.
Let's speak some hard truths. If Donald Trump becomes the Republican nominee, we will get a President Kamala Harris. You mark my words. Mm-hmm. He cannot win a general election. Look at Iowa, look at New Hampshire. He can't get independents. He can't get suburban women. He's losing Republicans who say they don't want him and will vote for someone else. It's a problem.
What poses a national security risk is the possibility that he could be president of the United States again.
He is not the same person he was in 2016. He is unhinged. He is more diminished.
He is more diminished. Really? look at how stupid those statements sound today. I mean, I know they came around and they spoke. Some of them spoke at the convention. And that's typical, I suppose. They're fighting it out in the primaries. But he was finished. He's diminished. You know, she's right in one sense where chaos does tend to follow Donald Trump around. But who's generating the chaos? Who generated it last Saturday? Yeah, it was a chaotic scene. And God intervened to save him. You can't explain anything about this other than it's by God's mighty hand, saved by the Lord God Almighty, Trump said it himself just last night. There's no other explanation except that God said, I'm going to bring him back. God said, as we said from the beginning, he's going to return to power. We said it right the day after they stole the election in 2020. He will return. How do you explain these changes? Except that there's something bigger going on here. This is from Mediaite on Elon Musk. It says, the New York Times reported on Thursday that billionaire Trump donor Elon Musk described former President Donald Trump as a stone-cold loser in 2020. This is a pretty big change in thinking for the world's richest man, no? According to the Times, which cited an unnamed source close to Musk, the billionaire told his associates in 2016 that Trump's victory in election against Hillary Clinton was proof that they were living in a simulation. The Times also reported that in 2020, in a private conversation with another associate, Musk called Trump a stone-cold loser. Then he got behind DeSantis late last year. And then late last Saturday night, Musk released this statement, I fully endorse President Trump and hope for his rapid recovery. And then news breaks a day or two later saying that Musk is going to donate $45 million per month to a Trump super PAC. $45 million per month. How do you explain this transformation? Something bigger is happening here. I mean, you go back even before these statements to where Musk just bought Twitter. That seemed like an outlandish thing to do for someone like that. To overpay to buy a social media company of all things. That was miraculous as well. That was something that God's hand was involved in as well. Because guess what the deep state did? As soon as the feds set up the fake insurrection, they blotted Donald Trump out of social media, including out of Twitter. You may have seen just recently, they announced that Facebook and Instagram, they invited Donald Trump back. That's quite a transformation. So much evil, so much criminal behavior. It's being exposed. And finally, I mean, you've got actual political prisoners that are being let out of prison. There's still some awaiting their time, Steve Bannon and others. But God's hand is at work here. Play again this bit from President Trump last night, and it's a little bit of a longer version, clip two.
I'm not supposed to be here tonight. Not supposed to be here. Thank you. But I'm not. And I'll tell you, I stand before you in this arena only by the grace of Almighty God. In watching the reports over the last few days, many people say it was a providential moment. Probably was. When I rose, surrounded by Secret Service, the crowd was confused because they thought I was dead. And there was great, great sorrow. I could see that on their faces as I looked out. They didn't know I was looking out. They thought it was over. But I could see it. And I wanted to do something to let them know I was okay. I raised my right arm, looked at the thousands and thousands of people that were breathlessly waiting, and started shouting, fight, fight, fight. Thank you. Once my clenched fist went up and it was high into the air, you've all seen that, the crowd realized I was okay and roared with pride for our country like no crowd I have ever heard before. Never heard anything like it. For the rest of my life, I will be grateful for the love shown by that giant audience of patriots that stood bravely on that fateful evening in Pennsylvania.
Powerful moment from his 92-minute speech, I think the longest ever, of a nominee to give at the conclusion of a convention. Tucker said, we'll play it later if we have time, Tucker said what struck him about the assassination attempt, which he's seen on TV multiple times, so many of us have, is just how following the tragedy, his mind, Donald Trump's mind, was on other people. I mean, this is supposed to be the most selfish narcissist on earth. Not so. From what, and Tucker called him straight away. He talked to him Saturday night. And Donald Trump was talking about the amazing people at the rally that didn't cause any injuries to others because they didn't stampede out of there. Just the fight, fight, fight gesture alone shows you he wasn't in it. He wasn't in the midst of that tragedy just thinking about himself. He showed some courage. I mean, it was real. It was authentic. Who knows what else could have happened, as I said earlier this week. Here again is another reference to God's miraculous hand. This is clip 3.
There was blood pouring everywhere, and yet, in a certain way, I felt very safe because I had God on my side. I felt that. But if the events of last Saturday make anything clear, it is that every single moment we have on earth is a gift from God.
It's like the point I made with the campers earlier this week. I mentioned it the other day, but we need God on our side. We need God intervening on our behalf. We need continuous guidance and direction from God. That's in the 7th law of success. It's not just contact with God. You should order our booklet, The 7 Laws of Success. The last law being contact with God. Why do we need contact? Why should we establish contact? Why should we draw near to God? Because we need continuous guidance and direction and protection, by the way, from the great Creator God. Listen to Tucker's take. This was, again, a speech earlier in the day at the convention. Clip 7.
The more I watched it, the more it struck me that everything was different after that moment. Everything. And this convention is different. The nation is different. The world is different. Donald Trump is different. When he stood up after being shot in the face, bloodied, and put his hand up, I thought at that moment, that was a transformation. This was no longer a man. Well, I think that. I think it was divine intervention. But the effect that it had on Donald Trump, he was no longer just a political party's nominee or a former president or a future president. This was the leader of a nation.
He demonstrated real leadership. This is not some politician who's in it to serve himself, like so many of them that you saw in that montage a moment ago. They're just in politics and making a ton of money at that. Donald Trump sacrificed his money, some of it, to serve his people, to serve the nation. And he demonstrates at a moment of crisis, the greatest crisis of his physical life, he showed some true leadership, some courage, and a certain amount of faith as well. I felt like I was safe. I felt like God was with me. I felt like God would protect me. Here's clip 8.
Being a leader is very different. It's not a title. It's organic. You can't name someone a leader. A leader is the bravest man. That's who the leader is. That is true in all human organizations. This is a law of nature. And in that moment, Donald Trump, months before the presidential election, became the leader of this nation.
That's the moment that he won the election. Quite a few commentators have said that. I mentioned the phone conversation that Tucker had with the president on Saturday night. Here he is describing that, clip 9.
I think it changed him. I you know, he reached out to Trump within hours of it that night. And what he said to me that night, having just been shot in the face, he said not a single word about himself. He said only how amazed he was and how proud he was of the crowd, which didn't run. And I thought two things. The first thing I thought was, well, of course they didn't run. His courage gave them heart. A leader's courage gives courage to his people. And the second thing I thought was, this is the selfish guy I've been hearing about for 9 years. Really? Not a word about himself?
Courageous leadership. It is infectious. It inspired the crowd, even. And then coming back to Trump, just listen to one more clip from Tucker where he talks about how the, after having been shot in the face, that he had every motivation. If he's in it for himself, if it's all politics, think about how he could have inflamed the situation. And he didn't. Clip 10.
He turned down the most obvious opportunity in politics to inflame the nation after being shot. To inflame the nation, which is an opportunity that almost every other politician I've ever met, and certainly his opponents, would have taken instantly. And they would have said, well, what is this? How did he get shot? Like, how did this happen? And those are real questions that we have to get to the bottom of. But in the moments, the days, the week after the shooting, he did not say that. He did his best to bring the country together. And I thought, this is the divisive figure. This is the irresponsible person. No. This is the most responsible, unifying behavior of a leader I think I've ever seen.
Quite the endorsement there from Tucker Carlson. There was a moment last night during President Trump's speech where he talked about hostages that he was going to set free as the day he gets into office. Listen to that moment, clip 4.
I tell you this, we want our hostages back, and they better be back before I assume office, where you will be paying a very big price. With our victory in November, the years of war, weakness, and chaos will be over.
We're seeing, again, something bigger happening here. Hostages returning. If all goes well, the story about the January 6th protesters, this is from the Washington Post, the Supreme Court's June ruling narrowing use of an obstruction charge for January 6th defendants is leading to misdemeanor plea deals for some Capitol riot defendants. These people that were accused of obstruction. Try to beef up the misdemeanor into a felony so that they can go to jail for 3, 5, 10 years. And now many of them are finally being let out. Something bigger is happening. The tide has definitely turned. Listen to Melanie Phillips from earlier today. A fighting chance for the West, she says. This week, there's been a palpable feeling of tectonic plates on the move. Something huge is happening. Tucker says, look at the past month. Even Joe Scarborough, look at the last 3 weeks. Entire books could be written about these events. It says here, the impact of the failed assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump, his instant reaction and the iconic picture of that reaction cannot be exaggerated. I mean, there's tectonic plates moving all over the earth. She says here, these, or rather those few seconds have changed American politics and maybe the world. Look at the Democrats. They're in just total disarray as they try to figure out a way. In some ways, the news that goes back and forth between me and Sam, I mean, in some ways you wonder if they even have a plan. They've tried everything. They've tried everything. This man was supposed to be destroyed. And they said it on, by now, for sure, they said it on both sides. You heard the Paul Ryan montage. They all hate him. The Uniparty hates him. And then he goes off to a rally with tens of thousands of people, and Kim Cheadle can't even send in Secret Service guys. She lies, saying, yeah, it was heightened security. It was enhanced security. The local law enforcement, the counter snipers, they were on the second floor of the shooter's metal building. The second floor. It's right below the guy crawling on the roof. And the New York Times says it's he was spotted up there 20 minutes before the shooting. So initially it's 6-7 minutes. Now as many as 20 minutes? How does this happen? I'll give you a bit of that article since I've referred to it so often on the show. First of all, play clip 15. This is from the New York Times investigation, clip 15.
A federal investigation has been opened into security failures at the rally. And there are still many unanswered questions about the gunman's motives and movements before the shooting. But our analysis raises another question, one the Secret Service wouldn't comment on. Why the former president was allowed to remain on stage when the threat had emerged minutes before the attempt on his life.
And it was even more than just minutes. Why did they allow Trump to stay on the stage? This article from Fox News, Senator Josh Hawley wrote on X, this is just today, that whistleblowers tell me that most of Trump's security detail working the event last Saturday were not even Secret Service. Can you believe this? The agency responsible for protecting presidents and former presidents, they didn't even have many of their agents there. Big rally, middle of Pennsylvania, tens of thousands of people. DHS assigned unprepared and inexperienced personnel, said Hawley. He wrote to Alejandro Mayorkas complaining about this. What do you think will be done? They can't even get Kim Cheadle to fire, to resign. Whistleblowers who have direct knowledge of the event have approached my office. According to the allegations, the July 13 rally was considered to be a loose security event. For example, detection canines were not used to monitor entry and detect threats in the usual manner. Yeah, no detection dogs, no drones, just a couple of snipers, counter snipers. That's about it. It's a low security event. Okay, who decided that? This was a setup, like so many of the other setups that we've seen, like so many of the other hoaxes along the way. It's gone on for 9 years, with respect to Trump anyway. Individuals without proper designations were able to gain access to backstage areas. Department personnel did not appropriately police the security buffer around the podium and were also not stationed at regular intervals around the event security perimeter. This is stunning. This is really and truly shocking. This is what they should be leading with at the morning meltdown. Who's behind this? As I said on yesterday's show, are there people within the deep state, people within the Joe Obama administration that want Donald Trump to be dead? How come he isn't dead? Little tilt of the head in the other direction, and as he said last night, he wouldn't be speaking at the RNC. A fighting chance for the West, says Melanie Phillips. She writes, it was obviously beyond astounding that a rifle shot failed by a few centimeters to kill Trump. Many religious folk regard this as a miracle. They believe that after 8 years of attempts to destroy Trump politically through constitutionally improper plots, legal actions, and nonstop demonization, from all of which, astonishingly, he emerged even stronger. I mean, something bigger is happening here. Even stronger. This close brush with death demonstrates he has divine protection to fulfill the role on earth for which he has been marked out. I mean, this is pretty powerful writing coming from someone that I know personally. I don't think she's super religious. Among those who regard all that as nonsense, many have nevertheless been deeply impressed by the presence of mind and strength of character Trump displayed by struggling to his feet, defiantly raising his fist and mouthing fight with blood streaming down his face. While no one side has a monopoly on demonizing rhetoric, the malice of the left was breathtaking. Many bemoan the fact that the shooter didn't succeed in killing Trump. And she talks about this same spirit being behind the attacks on Benjamin Netanyahu over in Israel. The media was doing what the left always does, misrepresenting reality to deny any facts that will destroy its narrative around the world. In that narrative, right-wing populists like Trump are responsible for everything bad in the world. They therefore can never do anything good and can never be a victim. She says this type of pathological hatred is also directed at Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Finally, she says you don't have to be a fan of Trump or Netanyahu to realize the overwhelming importance of defeating today's liberal and left-wing ideologues and of suppressing the ugly passions they unleash. Those liberals and leftists are understandably aghast by the dramatic change in the way Trump is being viewed as a result of the shooting. Something bigger is happening here. Even the world view toward Trump is shifting. It's changing for the better. I mean, you see it right here in America. People proudly now going out in their MAGA gear. They could have gotten slugged for doing that 7-8 years ago. You've got all the celebrities. I mean, from a personal standpoint, I think the conventions can do without the celebrity influence that you saw this week. But that said, there's a lot of people, they don't really dig into the politics or the world events or anything that's newsworthy. A lot of them just follow celebrities' opinions. And here you have the celebrities now lining up. The one woman earlier this week, I think she has 24 million followers on Twitter. Who knows about the other guys that they had on last night? But those people are influential. And they're coming out of the closet, Trump supporters. They're not concealing it anymore. Tectonic shifts. It says, as if President Joe Biden's now undeniable infirmities weren't bad enough, how can he or any candidate who might replace him compete with what even the liberal Atlantic magazine described as a spiritual force that's been unleashed on the Republican side? The Atlantic? Yeah, the Atlantic. The undeniable spiritual force backing Donald Trump. She says here, well, that's probably enough. Listen to this bit from MSNBC yesterday as they talked about just how difficult it is for these Democrat machines in big cities around the country, how difficult it is for them to just find people to get behind Joe Biden. Clip 11.
The Democratic base right now is just entirely lacking for intensity. I mean, when I talk with Democrat elected officials in the battleground states, they tell me the same story over and over and over again. They can't find anybody to come out and volunteer for them to do the sort of work that's necessary in a field operation because there's just no enthusiasm. I mean, we hear all the time about the cliche enthusiasm gap in politics. I've never seen an enthusiasm gap like the one we're witnessing in the summer of this election year. I've heard horror stories from people on the ground in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, in Arizona about just striking out time and time again as local Democratic Party chapters, county chapters have tried to get people to come in and phone bank, to get mail going, to knock on doors. They can't do it. They can't find people.
You can see why the dear leader is in full-scale panic mode. Something bigger is going on here. Too big to rig, President Trump often says out on the campaign trail. We've got to make it so big that they can't steal it. And they'll try to do that too. They always do. They'll try to manipulate it. They'll lie, they'll steal, they'll cheat, and they'll even murder if they have to, or at least try. Well, there's more I can get to on today's show, but I want to save a few minutes for our weekly segment of World Watch. That'll go on for 3-4 minutes. And then following that, I think we'll be able to play at least the first four or five minutes of my father's most recent Key of David program, America Under Attack. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll take it straight into World Watch.
Chinese troops arrived in Belarus last week to participate in joint military exercises, a move likely to concern Europe. The anti-terrorist training exercise known as Eagle Assault was scheduled to take place from July 8th to 19th near the southwestern border city Brest, next to Poland and Ukraine. It is a clear provocation against NATO, which will be holding a summit in Washington this week. Not only are the exercises a sign of China's closer military ties with Belarus, but they further strengthen China's relationship with Russia, who essentially acts as Belarus's sovereign. Belarus's absorption back into Russia's sphere and induction into the Shanghai Cooperation Organization this year shows it is distancing itself from Western Europe. Bible prophecy foretells of a coming war between a German-led Europe and a Russia-China-led Asian axis. To learn more about Belarus's possible role in these prophecies, read Belarus is Back in the USSR. Chinese companies are helping Russian firms develop attack drones for use in the war against Ukraine, Bloomberg reported on July 3rd. Russia has used thousands of Iran-made Shahed suicide drones in its war against Ukraine. China is capable of producing such drones far faster than Iran and likely at a lower cost. The Chinese plan to produce drones similar to Iran's in conjunction with Russia. China has also provided Russia with satellite imagery for military use, as well as significant quantities of militarily useful equipment. Previously, China has managed to avoid explicitly violating Western sanctions that outlaw providing Russia with lethal aid. But the new drone plan is a sign that Beijing may be edging closer to providing the sort of lethal aid that Western officials have warned against, Bloomberg wrote. China's willingness to increasingly aid Russia's war effort despite the major risks should not surprise us. Bible prophecy warns that Russia and China will become full military allies in the near future and form the largest army the world has ever seen. To learn more, read our free booklet, Russia and China in Prophecy. Europe's Ariane 6 rocket blasted off from French Guiana around 4 p.m. local time on July 9th, marking the continent's return to space. The debut went smoothly until the rocket failed to send out its final set of payloads after reaching orbit. The mission was still considered a success. Europe is back in space. Philippe Baptiste, head of France's CNES space agency, said to the European Space Agency. After years of funding debates, delays, and political hurdles, Europe has become an independent contender for space domination. The race to dominate space is rapidly becoming more urgent. Countries understand that it's not enough to just have a presence, they must dominate. Another level of warfare is about to be unlocked, and Europe knows it must be ready. To learn more, read Space, the Final Military Frontier. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
What is wrong with America? Our nation is under attack from within. Expose the spiritual darkness behind the assault on America. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. I have never mentioned my hardcover book on TV before. It's about America under attack, and I wanted to talk to you about it today. Of course, it is free, as all of our literature is. And it was first printed in 2013 in a little small paperback. But since that time, we have made it, and I have expanded it into a much bigger book, and we've made it in a hardcover. So it is a very impressive book just to see. But this is something that can afflict political parties. It can certainly apply to churches. And it is a problem that's pretty widespread. Across the globe, people are still asking the question, well, what is happening inside of America? That's asked by people overseas quite often. Now, we're still aware of Abraham Lincoln's statement about the last best hope on earth here in America. But that hope is in danger. And it is something we all need to be concerned about, because the problems that we have are within. The attack is from within. That's a real problem. You have Russia, China, Iran, they're all allied, and they are not our friends. They are our enemies. I want to read you something from Michael Hastings, and he described the captivating effect Barack Obama had on the journalists covering him during his second presidential campaign. Hastings told MSNBC's Martin Bashir, quote, "That's the presence of Obama, even on the press corps, even on the people who follow him every day when they're near him. They lose their minds somehow. They start behaving in ways that are juvenile and amateurish, and they swoon." Now, what is that anyhow? Now, again, this can happen to political parties, and it has certainly happened to churches, God's own church. 95% of them turned away. That is prophesied in your Bible. And they were destroyed from within. So what happens to churches? That's something that is a big problem as well. Matthew 16 and verse 18 says that Christ would build his church and it would never die. He did build it. And it's never died. And it'll go right on to his second coming and forever. But what happened to 95% of those people? How did that all happen? 95% of them, the true church of God, turn away from God. Hastings goes on to admit to getting caught up in this behavior. He said this, "Did I ask the hardball questions? No, I did not." He admitted with a smile. Instead, he asked soft questions. Bashir ask if he's swooned around Obama. "I do," Hastings laughed. "I totally, oh man." What is going on? You really have to know your Bible to understand that. But this has happened and is happening, but it is changing somewhat at this very time. And we all need to be concerned about that as well. Hermann Rauschning says this about Free City of Danzig in Germany in 1933 to 1934. He briefly joined the Nazi movement before breaking with it. He had many conversations with Hitler that he later wrote down in his book, Hitler Speaks. He wrote that during these talks, Hitler spoke a lot about the psychology of lying. Rauschning recalled that on one occasion, Hitler said, quote, "What you tell people in the mass in a receptive state of fanatic devotion will remain." And he also recalled Hitler on other occasions saying, "We are now at the end of the age of reason. We're at the end of all that."